Let's thank the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you once again, giving thanks and praise of not only for our salvation, but Lord, we give you thanks for this day that you've given to us to come and worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities just to get to know you better and to get to know ourselves better. We just ask you to bless our time. For it's in Jesus we ask it. Amen. All right, amen. We are getting towards the end of our Harmony of the Gospels. We're like in the last week, so how long can that take? Well, day three is going to take us quite a while. We've been here in day three for, and I'll review more next week what we've been looking at thus far. But Jesus has been dealing with false teachers right along. He's rebuking them in one way or another. He's been using parables. That's been a good technique that he's used. But we, again, like I said, we're in day three of the Passion Week, and our accounts today will be Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So all three of these Gospels have this account. And let's talk about how Jesus silenced the Sadducees concerning the resurrection. All right, first question, hey, who came to Jesus? And Matthew's account says this, hey, the same day came to him the Sadducees. Mark has it like this, then came unto him the Sadducees. Luke says, hey, then came to him certain of the Sadducees. And I mentioned to you that the Sadducees, they were the religious liberals of that day. And one of the doctrines that they did not hold to, what do you think it was? They did not believe in the resurrection. They were different than the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they held to the resurrection. The Sadducees don't hold to the resurrection. Well, this is why this is going to make this all the more hypocritical, because they're going to come put forth something concerning the resurrection, a topic that they didn't even believe in. It's kind of interesting, this Harmony of the Gospels, the way I've been doing it. I had initially looked in the book market to find a book. I thought certainly somebody has done Harmony of the Gospels, so it would make my job so much easier. I could just use their material. But I haven't found anything that actually harmonizes all of the, you know, this. So maybe I have a book in the making. I don't know if anybody else would be interested in what we've been going through and how we've been putting it all, you know, looking at each one. But I found it interesting, but I don't know if anybody else would. But obviously, we couldn't find it. Let me do this, though. When we're talking about the Sadducees, I'm going to read to you Acts 23, you'll notice I got Acts 23. Acts 23 is going to tell us a little bit about the Sadducees and what they believed or did not believe in. Acts 23, verse 6 says this. And when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question." When he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. All right, so there you have it scripture-wise that these Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. All right, keep that in mind. Here's our next question. What did the Sadducees believe and say? Well, Matthew says, which say there is no resurrection and ask him. Mark, which say there is no resurrection and they ask him, saying. Luke says, which deny that there's any resurrection, and they ask him. All right, so they're laying out the groundwork, very clear, that these individuals are coming to talk to Jesus, that they do not believe in the resurrection. All right, so what did the Sadducees ask of Jesus? Matthew, he says this, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Mark, Master, Moses wrote to us, if a man's brother die, leaving his wife behind him and leaving no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Very similar. Luke says, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And I mentioned to you this statement, the law provided for the perpetuating of a dead brother's line to ensure the continuation of his name and inheritance. Now, for the most part, when the properties were given, divided up with Joshua and every tribe and then every family and then every member of the family was given their portion, it was given to the male. Now, one situation, remember, there was no male, but generally it was given to the male. Well, what the law provided, and we might, let's take a look at that. Come with me to Deuteronomy. What the law provided for was if something was to happen to the man, he left his wife behind, but there was no children, okay? Therefore, there was no male to inherit the land, then his family would lose that land. Well, here's the provision that was made. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5 says this. We'll go verse 5 through 10. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate of the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. So it was quite a situation that they would go through, right? That seems pretty strange to you and I today to hear such a thing, all right? But this was the aspect of perpetuating that line, so that line would not die, so that they would not lose their portion of the inheritance. Well, obviously, that's not our situation today, so we're not following those, that aspect. But they're bringing up the law. They're bringing up Scripture. And haven't you ever had someone use Scripture to upset you in some way or another, try to set you up? Well, you know, the Bible says, and of course they always take it the portion that they want to take without looking at the context and so forth. But Hey, who else do we know did this with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, even when Satan came, he said, well, you know, it said. But when he quoted, he only quoted the first part of the verse. He didn't even quote the end of it. So we see them, they're using the scripture and they're using it to for their own advantage. Well, let's continue because Matthew says this. Nowhere was there, now there was with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased and having no issue, led his wife unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren. The first took a wife, and dying left no seed, says Mark. Luke says, and there were therefore seven brethren. The first took the wife and died without children. Okay, so we're up to the first one. All right, that's the first one. Takes, but he dies too. Still no children. All right, well, here's their next aspect. Likewise, the second also, and the third, and to the seventh. Mark says, and the second took her and died, neither left any seed. The third likewise, and the seven had her, and left no seed. All seven brothers died, no seed. Luke says, and the second took her to wife, he died childless. And the third took her, in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. All right, so this is the story that they're telling. Now, they're, you know, here they've had one guy, he had a wife, she died, brother, no children, up to all seven of the brothers, but still no child. Matthew says in 22, verse 27, last of all, the woman died also. Mark says, last of all, the woman died also. And Luke, last of all, the woman died also. So you see thus far, there's real harmony of these verses, all right? No complications. Matthew 22, therefore, in the resurrections, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now, that's the big question, okay? Mark, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For the seven had her to wife. So basically, that whole thing was very similar in Matthew, Mark's, and Luke's account. But the whole aspect is right here. And, of course, remember, the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. So this is all hypocritical on their part. And, you know, so they said, okay, whose wife is she going to be? All the seven of them had her. So whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Well, let's see how Jesus answered them, shall we? Matthew says, Jesus answered and said to them, ye do err, watch this, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Jesus answered and said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? Luke, he's got a Reader's Digest. Jesus answered and said unto them. Now, what is Matthew and Mark here? What does Jesus say are the two problems that they have, these Sadducees? One thing is they what? They don't know the scriptures. Well, come on, we just quote, you know, we were just using Deuteronomy. Jesus is saying, you don't know the scriptures. But what else does he say they didn't know? They didn't know the power of God. So, and in fact, he's really saying they're hypocrites and lost, unsaved, if you will. But these are the two things. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know the power of God. Let's go on. Matthew 22, verse 30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Mark says, for when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Luke, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. One of the things that you see in all three of these counts is Jesus is affirming what? There's going to be a resurrection. All right? He is affirming the resurrection. In the resurrection, they that rise from the dead. And the resurrection from the dead. Verse 36 of Luke says this. He has a little bit more. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now, when he's talking about angels, they're like angels. They're like as unto angels. What's he referring to there? What don't angels do? They don't marry. All right? So in the end, it's not saying we're going to be as angels, you know, but in the sense that there's not going to be any giving a marriage and taking a marriage, all right? That's the sense he's talking about. Now, look at the last couple of statements I make here on your bottom of your sheet. Because resurrected men and women will not marry nor procreate, for there is no marriage state in that life. The Sadducees' question, it was irrelevant. Now watch. With our resurrected bodies, which do not die, there's no need for marriage and procreation of children. Now we're living in a time when, you know, we die. But there's not going to be any death in this time. So there's no need for the aspect of having children. Well, look at your next sheet. Jesus says, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying? So now remember, he said he didn't know the scriptures, right? So now he's going to turn to that. And as touching the dead, they that rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, Luke, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush. All right, what was said at the bush? All right, what did God say? Matthew says, I'm the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the living. Mark says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. That phrase is added. When he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, for he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Okay, so what's the point that's being made here? Well, I write for you. God introduced himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And he uses the present tense. He says, I am. He doesn't say, I was. I am. It's in the present tense. Because the patriarchs hadn't died hundreds of years earlier. Their spirit was alive as we looked at this morning in our doctrinal class. Because God was still associated with the patriarchs, there is life after death. And, of course, that verse is Exodus 3, verse 6, concerning I am. All right, any thoughts at this point? All right, look at your last sheet. How did the multitude respond when they heard Jesus say this? Well, Matthew says this. Hey, when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Okay? Now, how do the scribes? We see how the multitude respond. How did the scribes respond when they heard Jesus say this? Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any questions at all. So the multitude, they were astonished. The scribes, how would you describe them? You just read it. These individuals that come to trick, deceive, but the Lord had pretty much what? Shut them up. Yeah, he shut them up. His wisdom just confounded them. The people were astonished. These who now, whether it was the Pharisees, whether it was the Sadducees, whether it's the Sanhedrin. I mean, all of these groups have been on the attack of the Lord. And in each and every situation, the Lord has silenced them. And I'll tell you what, the Word of God is powerful in silencing men. They want to argue, but thus saith the Word of God. So, let them fight with God. All right, now, what do you think these verses teach us about our triune God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Did we learn anything about our God? What's our God believe in? What's our God teach us? There's going to be what? There's going to be a resurrection. That's what our God teaches us. God the Son says there is going to be a resurrection. There is. And what does our God say about our bodies? Those new bodies. Well, angels, and the fact that there will be no marriage, no procreation, all right? And we told you why, because, hey, we're going to live forever and ever and ever. Did we learn anything else about our God? Think about God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And therein lies our hope. That, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's the God of the living. And, you think of Muhammad, you think of any other gods. They're not the God of the living. The gods themselves are dead. Well, did we learn anything about mankind? Well, we're still learning that religious leaders are out to what? Entrap. Some way, somehow. Yeah, discredit the Word of God. And really, what's the two problems with mankind today? What's the two problems with these religious leaders, with these individuals who have 16 or 17 degrees hanging on their walls? And what are they? Yeah, it's pride. But what would we learn in our lesson today? They don't know the Scriptures. They might tell you, well, I'm a Bible scholar, but Jesus is saying, your problem is you just don't know the Scriptures. And what else don't they know? Yeah, they don't know the not only God, but the what of God, the one true God. What else did he say? They didn't know the power of God. They didn't know the power of God. Our God can do all things, see? And you watch and you see. And it goes back down to faith, doesn't it? The problem is that they lack faith. They don't have the faith that they, the faith to believe that our God can. God can. Well, all right. That was good. We've read through that little aspect. How might these verses change our behavior? Okay, you better be listening. And the thing that you ought to listen to, do they know the scriptures? Do they know the power of God? Listen to what they're saying. Boy, that doesn't sound like they believe concerning the power of God. So you're right, Al. Listen to them. Be careful. Hey, I purpose to be attentive to what a teacher is saying concerning, the scriptures, concerning God's power. All right, what else? Oh, that's about false teachers. What else might we, how might these change our behavior? Okay, you look at it and you see that Jesus is emphasizing the aspect of the resurrection through this. What kind of spirit should that instill in you and I? In knowing that God says there's going to be a resurrection, I purpose to respond with more faith, believing. But what? I mean, knowing that you're going to be resurrected and having Jesus verify the resurrection, it ought to cause us who have trusted in Jesus to have a greater spirit of thanksgiving, joy. All right? But then flip the coin over when we're talking about our behavior. In one sense, knowing that we are going to be partakers of the resurrection, there should be a spirit of rejoicing and giving thanks. But in knowing that so-and-so is not going to be part of that resurrection, how might it change our behavior? I want to go and what? Witness. Yes. Want to witness more. Knowing that so-and-so is not going to be a partaker of the resurrection. I purpose to share the gospel with them that Jesus saves. Anybody else? Any other things that, as you look at this, how it might change our behavior? Any thoughts, questions that you might have on this little passage? I'm just biting off small aspects because this was one thought. The next thing is another thought. So I've been trying to just, and that's why we sometimes are not as long. It's only 20 minutes today, but